Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
BSM presents The Tim Meisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Meisberg Show.
Welcome back in, third and final hour of the program here on Tuesday morning. We've been talking a lot about books lately. Throughout the course of this morning, I've got an article at WBSM.com and on the app regarding a new thrift store in New Bedford that has a book swap program so that you can check out some books and not have to spend a lot of money for it. But of course, everybody loves going to the bookstore, getting that perfect new book, or, you know, maybe you go online and order it. Maybe you read it as an ebook, whatever it may be, but what do we love to do? We love to read those New York Times best-selling books, right? And we have joining us now Lisa Gardner, a number one New York Times best-selling thriller novelist with over 30 million copies of her books in print worldwide and published in over 30 languages. She is a self-described research junkie, and she's transformed her interest in police procedure and criminal minds into a streak of internationally acclaimed novels. Her novel, The Neighbor, won Best Hardcover Novel from the International Thriller Writers, and she has also been honored for her work with Animal Rescue and At-Risk Children. And what's really cool about her is she is a New Englander, just like us. So she joins us on the line now to talk about her new book, Still See You Everywhere. Lisa Gardner joins us now on the program. Good morning, Lisa. How are you?
Good morning, Tim. It's a pleasure to be here.
It's great to have you here. And, you know, we were talking earlier about the process of writing and of getting books out there and getting them into the hands of people and the reaction that they have. I'm going to assume you're somebody who had a love of reading and writing growing up. Did you ever think that you would see those words, number one New York Times bestselling author, next to your name?
Oh, no, that moment was quite surreal. But yeah, like most novelists, I grew up reading and I was very lucky. My grandmother was always taking us to the library for the summer reading program. And then just weirdly enough, when I was 17, I decided to see if I could write a novel, and I was ridiculously lucky and sold it at 20. So this is it. It's all I've got. I'm glad the books are working out.
Well, but what's interesting about it is you've tapped into something that you are interested in. And in terms, you know, we talked about your love of research and crime procedurals and all of that. You found something that you love and that you're interested in, but that also so many people love and want to go on those journeys with you as you are creating these characters and creating these stories. You know, they can't get enough of it either.
Yes, I think we all love suspense. I mean, certainly for myself reading and now as a novelist, I love the puzzle. Like, you know, here's this crazy situation. How did this happen? Why did this happen? I think we're fascinated with the criminal mind. You know, is evil born and made? One of my favorite things about writing Still See You Everywhere was coming up with a female serial killer, the beautiful butcher, who's now one of my all-time favorite characters, I'm not going to lie.
Well, and so that's what I find to be the most fascinating from people that can write books such as you, where you can kind of take that puzzle. See, as a reader, I like to try to figure out the puzzle, but I never can figure out how to create the puzzle. Like, I look at something like what you do and say, wow, how do you do that? But do you kind of reverse engineer it for the plot? How do you come up with the idea of coming up with the mystery as opposed to the rest of us who can only try to look for the solution?
So I'm actually exactly in your shoes, Tim. I never know the answer. So I do start really with a scenario, and the case is Still See You Everywhere. It's a missing persons expert, Frankie Elkin, being summoned to like death row in Texas because this killer is about to be put to death. in 3 weeks' time, and she's just received word that her baby sister, who was kidnapped 15 years ago, might still be alive, and she's her dying wish. She wants someone to find her sister. So I could see that. But where it would lead, how it would play out, who these people would be, how it had happened to the sister, that was all the reasons I needed to get up in the morning and continue working at it. So by the time I got to that end that you're going to say you never saw coming, I'll agree, I never saw it coming either. But yay, so happy it did.
So it sounds like then you're not really necessarily, you know, creating all these outlines and you know, plotting out the plot. You're just kind of sitting in front of the computer and typing and seeing where the story brings you.
And thriller speak, there's two ways of doing a novel, and one we call plotting, and the other we actually call pantsing, writing by the seat of your pants. And writers are generally split almost 50-50, and I'm officially in the pantsing camp, which is really messy because you never know what you're doing.
Well, that must be just as exciting for you, though, as the writer as it is then for the reader.
I like to think so. I think that's the advantage of it. I think when you start out knowing the end, it's really hard not to communicate that. And I'm a character-driven writer. I really want to see where they're going to go with this. I mean, Frankie, my missing persons expert, ends up in this remote atoll in the Pacific with 12 strangers, coconut crabs, a wolf spider in her cabin. There's a lot for her to adapt and deal with. And oh yeah, she's trying to rescue a possibly human trafficked girl as well. Kind of want to see how that plays out.
And as you said, character driven, which means you actually not only have to create the story that resonates with the reader, but you have to create the characters that they want to see, you know, have the solution to this, that they want to see have the resolution to this. So they've got to be able to root on Frankie as well at the same time.
And I think this is where writers are different. Like for me, the characters live as voices in my head. Even before I knew anything about Still See You Everywhere, I had this woman talking in my mind saying, I still see you everywhere. And she had suffered a terrible loss and she was filled with a lot of rage. And it was like, why? What happened here? And that became the beautiful butcher. And I think she kind of works because even if what she did was horrific and she's totally unrepentant, she could get out of prison tomorrow. She'd like to kill 18 men again, but she loves her sister. And that grounds her and makes her compelling for us and for Frankie.
Well, that must be a hard character to write then, though, to have somebody who is so, you know, undeserving of sympathy, but yet at the same time, that sympathy needs to be a major driving force of the novel's plot.
I'm not going to lie. Both thriller writers will tell you we love the villains the best. They're just so much fun. You know, it's like, you know, when you're acting in a play, it's just so much more fun to be the bad guy, right? It's the vicarious thrill because I'd like to think in my real life I'm not feeding humans to pigs, but it's, you know, all in a day's work, right?
Well, I mean, listen, it says here that you're, you know, you're really passionate about research, so I don't want to know how far that research went.
True enough.
But so when coming up with characters, you know, you have characters that you repeat in different novels that, you know, that are kind of series for those characters. It seems like you make an emotional connection with them as the writer just as much as the readers will as well.
Yeah, I never plan ahead because, like we've established, I'm not a planner. But the characters grow on you. They somewhat become like your children. And often there's just more stories for them to tell. In the case of Frankie Elkin, we have an everyday person. She's not police. She's not FBI. She's not a private investigator. She's actually a recovering alcoholic. She's made a lot of bad decisions in her past. She's trying to get back on path. And the way she seems to be able to do that is by solving other people's problems. You know, so she goes from town to town looking for missing people the rest of the world don't care about. And unfortunately, there's hundreds of thousands of them. But why do you do this? I mean, why is she in, you know, going to death row for the love of God? That's not the sanest decision. You know, is she running towards something? Is she running away from something? And I don't know if she can answer that question yet. So I have to keep writing more books.
Well, and as you are writing these books and coming up with these different stories and plots, I'm sure you're also watching, you know, real world, real life, true crime things and seeing what goes on with that. And sometimes the stuff that happens in real life is even crazier than probably any plot you think that you could come up with.
Oh, absolutely. And I actually started my career writing FBI profiler books about serial killers, one of the things that's fascinating when you read about these cases in real life is, of course, there's way more male serial killers than women. So why is that? And part of that is men externalize rage, women internalize it. So men become murderers, women become self-destructive. However, in the past 30 years, as we've gotten more equality and women have gotten more comfortable being angry, hey, guess one of the trends we're starting to see now?
And I think that probably, you know, going back to what you said about how we like to live vicariously through the villains, you know, a lot of folks get concerned. They see that true crime is one of the most popular topics out there. And they say, well, what's wrong with America if, you know, that's what they're focusing on? I see it kind of the opposite. I see that as that's our catharsis. You know, that's us getting healthier by looking at these stories and realizing, wow, there really are some sick people out there. We realize, oh, that's not us. That's not who we want to be. So it actually serves as a morality tale as much as it is something that people want to, you know, kind of rubberneck and watch from afar.
Oh, absolutely. I think one of the reasons suspense novels are so big is, one, I mean, they are, you know, a vicarious thrill. They're exciting to read. But many people would say they're also a form of preparedness. We do want to understand better the nature of evil or people who are predators, possibly because it would help us avoid them in the future. And we are looking for catharsis and resolution because closure in the real world, we don't get that on these high profile cases. And one of my favorite parts of being a novelist and a lot of the research I do is just come from something happened in the headlines. And I really want to know why. And in the book format, I have the opportunity to speak to the right experts and answer those questions for the reader.
And you just wrapped up a national tour to promote Still See You Everywhere. And you got a chance to really get around and talk with some folks who are, you know, reporters, people who are actually doing the nonfiction work of the same kind of thing that you're writing about. And I can only imagine that you had some fascinating conversations while out on the road.
Absolutely. And it was so great to book tour again. It's been like 4 or 5 years. I was trying to figure it out and to be able to connect with readers, to go to great bookstores like Wakefield Books in Rhode Island and An Unlikely Story in Massachusetts, Gibson's in New Hampshire. It was just, it felt like a celebration again. Readers were so excited to be there. We're all a bunch of book nerds. You know, we could talk books and shop forever. And most nights we kind of did.
Well, and not to mention, you probably gained a lot of new readers over the past few years as people were kind of stuck inside and reading a lot. There were probably a whole bunch of people that discovered your books for the first time. So this is your first chance to get to meet them out there.
Yeah. You know, if you're a storyteller, to actually meet the people who are reading and love the characters as much as you do is really gratifying, because otherwise I'm somewhat convinced my mom has a really large warehouse filled with books at this point.
Well, listen, I know people who make movies and comic books and everything. You know, I know how they feel when people show up at things dressed as some of their characters. Has anybody ever cosplayed as one of your characters at one of your book events?
No, but I'm writing contemporary characters. It'd be harder to notice. But it is funny. We talk about, like, you know, I wrote FBI profiler Kimberly Quincy, and then a Boston detective, Dee Dee Warren, and then this vigilante, Flora Dane. And definitely at the book signing, you'll see people, we're Team Dee Dee, we're Team Kimberly, we're Team Flora, we're Team Frankie. And so far, they're pretty evenly split. The new request is, can't we just put them all in one book? How much fun would that be?
I was going to say, maybe you take that Doctor Who approach where you take all these different characters and you put them into one and see what happens when they all mix together.
It'd be kind of exciting to write, I'm not going to lie.
But you'd have to really come up with a case worthy of that many people to solve it.
Absolutely. But this is how the writing process starts. That little germ of an idea in the back of your head. And sooner or later, I wouldn't be surprised if there's something really great that comes out of that.
Well, listen, if the murderer is a talk show host, a talk radio host that ends up getting killed, I won't be offended. So,
well, you know, you can get in on the action now. By the end of this week, we'll have it open for business, but you can go to lisagardner.com and nominate the person of your choice to die in my next novel. It's the Kill a Friend, Maim a Buddy sweepstake. I consider it kind of my community service.
I love that idea. I have so many people I'm going to write in as suggestions for that, including my news guy, Phil Devitt. But he's, you know, oh no, he was listening. He heard me. Okay. Well, so what is next? Are you working on something else? Something else coming out soon, or?
Yes, I'm working on the next Frankie book. When I was doing my travels that took me to this remote island where Frankie's current book is set, I also met a couple who volunteered to help resettle Afghan refugees in Tucson. And needless to say, that is a situation fraught with a lot of issues and problems. So that's been the next adventure.
All right. Well, I want to thank you so much, Lisa, for joining us. And I hope everybody gets and checks out Still See You Everywhere and all of your books. And hopefully you can come back and talk with us about the next one.
That would be terrific. Thank you so much, Tim.
Thank you. That is New York Times bestselling author Lisa Gardner. Her new book, Still See You Everywhere, is available on Amazon and wherever you get your books from. Of course, the local bookstores all have it as well. And just if you are a fan of thriller, suspense, true crime, that kind of stuff, then step on over and read some of her books and you will absolutely enjoy them. And great talking with authors about their process as well. I got to take a break here. We'll be back in just a few moments. 508-996-0500.
A jam for all the fellas. Try to do what those ladies tell us. Get shot down because you're overzealous. Play hard to get females, get jealous. Okay, smarty, go to a party.
Now, if you want to bust a move on over to get yourself some breakfast, I would recommend busting a move on over to Just Another Phoenix, located on Fawns Corner Road in North Dartmouth. Why? Because not only do they have great breakfast, traditional breakfast like you'd expect to find, bacon and eggs, omelets, pancakes, French toast, all the stuff that you love to have in the morning, your comfort food in the morning. But they also have crazy and creative specials. They always come up with something new and unique. They always make sure that they have something that will, when you try it, you'll say, gee, I never would have thought of putting those things together, but man, does it work. And when you go to Just Another Phoenix, you're going to find specials like, what do they have recently? Well, it was Easter, right? So they had carrot cake pancakes. They had Reese's Pieces pancakes. Try saying that five times fast. Reese's Pieces pancakes. And I don't know if this is true or not. I haven't been able to verify it. But I heard a rumor that E.T. actually came back just to try some of those Reese's Pieces pancakes. Kids out there are like, who's E.T.? What is he talking about? They also had the cowboy omelet, barbecue chicken, onion, pepper, and cheddar cheese. The southern omelet, sausage, onion, pepper, salsa, and cheddar. And the waffle sandwich, sausage, egg, or cheese, or sausage or bacon, egg, and cheese on a waffle, drizzled with syrup. And don't sleep on the syrup on the sandwich with the sausage. I learned this a long time ago. Somebody told me that, you know, putting the syrup on the egg sandwich with the cheese and the sausage was good. And I was like, nah, that can't be good, but it is. So those were just some of the specials they had over the weekend at Just Another Phoenix. Some of them might still be on the menu, but they always come up with something different and something new. So check them out. You can get breakfast in the restaurant. And today is Tuesday, so seniors get coffee included with their breakfast. But you can also get their full menu through their drive-thru window. So if you don't have time to sit down and eat in the restaurant, you can still have a great breakfast from Just Another Phoenix anytime. Where is it located? It's on Fawns Corner Road in North Dartmouth, just a little bit past the Sheriff's Office, past the Bristol County House of Correction there. So if you are coming up from Health Tracks, what used to be the VF outlet, it'll be on your left side, just a little bit down the road from what used to be the VF outlet and is now Health Tracks. So get yourself out there, have a great breakfast, try some of their amazing home fries for sure, and start your day off a much better way with something delicious from Just Another Phoenix Restaurant, Fawns Corner Road in North Dartmouth, and follow them on Facebook so you always know about what's going on. All right, we are going to take more of your calls coming up, 508-996-0500. We are also going to give way to Chris McCarthy coming up at 9 a.m. He is going to have the two winners of the Fairhaven election for the select board seats. He is going to have Andrew Saunders and Andrew Romano joining us here at WBSM coming up in, let me see if I can give you exactly what time. So he will have Andrew Saunders at 9 and Andrew Romano at 10. So you want to stay tuned for all of that. But right now, let's go into the newsroom and get all the headlines of the day from Phil Devitt.
A man rams his car into FBI security. A Democratic senator says the Bible doesn't need Donald Trump. And an airline makes it easier to fly with four-legged friends.
From the WBSM newsroom, this is WBSM News.
A man is in custody after ramming his car into a security gate at an FBI office in Georgia. Officials say the suspect tried to follow another vehicle to get through the gate and enter the facility yesterday, but security measures stopped him. Video from the scene showed the car's front end smashed as it sat just inside the gate, just north of Atlanta. The Florida Supreme Court is ruling that the state constitution doesn't protect abortion rights, a move that will soon allow enforcement of some of the strictest abortion rules in the country. Monday's ruling upholds the current 15-week ban on the procedure. In addition, a stricter law signed last year by Republican Governor Ron DeSantis, which prohibits abortions after 6 weeks, will be enforceable in 30 days. The judge in former President Trump's New York criminal trial is expanding a partial gag order. The judge said that Trump is not allowed to attack his family members or those of Manhattan DA Alvin Bragg. Trump is also barred from attacks on witnesses, prosecutors, court staff, and their relatives. Last week, Trump took to Truth Social to call the judge biased and conflicted, while also taking shot at the judge's daughter. Senator Raphael Warnock says the Bible doesn't need Donald Trump's endorsement.
Jesus, in the very last week of his life, chased the money changers out of the temple, those who would take sacred things and use them as cheap relics to be sold in the marketplace. The sad thing is that none of us are surprised by this.
That's what the Georgia Democrat told CNN State of the Union when asked about the former president's effort to sell Trump-endorsed Bibles. Warnock, who's also senior pastor of Atlanta's Ebenezer Baptist Church, accused Trump of trying to sell the American people a bill of goods. Trump last week announced he's selling a $60 edition of the Bible ahead of Good Friday and Easter Sunday. Complaints of anti-Muslim incidents hit a record high last year, according to the Council on American-Islamic Relations. The nonprofit advocacy group said it counted over 8,000 complaints across the country in 2023. That's the highest number since it started tracking complaints 3 decades ago. It also marked a 56% increase from the previous year. The Powerball jackpot is over $1 billion after no one won the grand prize in Monday night's drawing. The next drawing is Wednesday with a cash option on a win of over $527 million. And American Airlines is making it easier to fly with pets, Michael Kastner reports.
Me and my monkey. And with his dungarees and rollerblades.
Passengers can now bring their furry companion on board along with a full-size carry-on bag instead of just one small item. The bag must be able to fit under the seat or their pet will be put in the cargo hold. Spokesperson for the airline says the change will reduce the urge for travelers to falsely claim their pet is a service animal that flies for free. I'm Michael Kastner.
WBSM Sports, brought to you by Sparks Auto in Dartmouth.
The Boston Celtics beat the Charlotte Hornets 118-104 last night. Next up, a game with the Oklahoma City Thunder at home, TD Garden on Wednesday. Red Sox and the Oakland Athletics play again tonight after the Sox beat them 9-0 yesterday, game at 9:40. And the Bruins in Nashville to play the Predators tonight at 8.
Now, your ABC 6 South Coast forecast.
Great skies today from start to finish this morning, turning mostly cloudy, temperature around 40. As we head into the afternoon, conditions will begin to deteriorate, a slight chance of rain, and it'll only intensify as we head into the overnight hours. For Wednesday, the rain will begin to pick up once again, heavy at times as we head into the afternoon. Wednesday overnight rain, possible thunderstorm cannot be ruled out. From the ABC 6 Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Ceci del Carmen on New Bedford's News Talk Station, 1420 WBSM.
I'm Phil Devitt for WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's News Talk Station, WBSM, and get all of our content and breaking news alerts with the WBSM app.
Everybody that
Tim, if you could bring back one kind of music, what would you bring back? I would bring back New Jack Swing. Why did it ever go away? New Jack Swing was some of the best music of the 90s. Some of the most fun music. I guess it wasn't built to last, though. So thank you to Lisa Gardner for our great conversation that we had a little while ago. You can catch it in the podcast if you missed it. But, you know, it's not every day that you get to have a number one New York Times best-selling author on the program, and especially one who is a New Englander, someone who is one of us and gets our obsession with true crime and with thrillers in general. And I was very interested in the conversation that Chris McCarthy was going to have with Carl Drew, the man who was convicted in the Fall River cult murders, but apparently the prison decided that that couldn't happen. But you know what? I've put this out there. I've mentioned it to Chris. Maybe someday, if Chris is up for it, we take a field trip. I'll drive him up to the prison, and we can have him one-on-one meet with Carl Drew. That would be interesting. But today, rather than talking to convicted murderers who may or may not have done it, today he'll be talking with elected officials, newly elected officials, the select board members elect from Fairhaven. Andrew Saunders at 9, Andrew Romano at 10, and you will be able to call in and speak with them as well. But that was just one election of all the local ones. We have more tonight, more coming up next week. We'll try to bring you all those results, provided, you know, we can get them. Sometimes it takes a little while. Sometimes you got to wait until the people come in the next day, but we try to get them for you as soon as we can. Because, as I was saying earlier in the program, it's important to have people that are willing to step up and serve in those local positions, and people who aren't just using it as a stepping stone to a bigger political career, people who actually want to help their communities. And we need more people that will do that. When you look at, you know, I was listening to, or watching rather, yesterday, I finally finished all my work, sat down in my chair, turned on the TV. And when I turned on my TV, CNN was on. And I saw RFK Jr. in a sit down with Erin Burnett on CNN and, you know, answering some tough questions from her. And he was talking about, you know, his family's history of service. And that it's not just about, you know, the big name Kennedys, but also just the folks who are part of the family who you might not even know are related to the Kennedys, but are still involved in more grassroots levels and more about actually just being involved rather than being a Kennedy. And I said, there's not a lot of that type of spirit, enough of that type of spirit imbued on people these days where it's about actually serving and not about getting something out of it. Now, sure, you should get something for it, even if it's just the feeling of satisfaction of helping somebody. There's nothing wrong in that. But the problem is too many people have the what's in it for me mentality, and they don't realize that it's not just about that. So just got delivered to my inbox the City of New Bedford's, the City of New Bedford Police Department's report on the crime statistics for 2023. The Standard Times had an article this morning about it. They apparently got an advanced copy of it. And in this report, it says that the trend in crime continues to go down. That in 2023, violent crime continued to decline in New Bedford and is now down 58% over the past decade. Property crime down 55% in that same amount of time. Now, I know a lot of people look at that statement and say, how can they say that crime is down? But they have statistics. You can argue whether or not you want to believe those statistics. You know, we get into all the things that we discussed before with the difference between what's reported, what is sent to the FBI, all of that. But the fact of the matter remains that one thing in which there has been an increase, and this report indicates that, is in shots fired incidents. And that seems to be the number one challenge for the police department these days, is getting those guns off the street. And that's harder to do than ever when, A, you have less police officers, but B, you've got to deal with things like ghost guns, with people 3D printing guns, with people 3D printing switches to put on their gun to turn a handgun into an automatic weapon. It's not an easy challenge. And it's certainly going to take a variety of factors all coming together to make that number go down. But it seems to be a primary focus. The good thing is, if you look at how many shots fired incidents, I guess if you have to find a silver lining, you had so many shots fired incidents in 2023, only three people were killed by that gunfire. And there was only one other person killed in New Bedford, murdered in New Bedford in 2023, and that was by knife. So that number being down is a huge win. But what are you going to do to kind of combat that rising? The shots fired could easily turn into people hit. 508-996-0500. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Just a quick little comment. What does Chick-fil-A and WBSM have in common?
What's that?
Come on, think about it for a moment.
I mean, I'm probably walking into something that I'm going to groan at here, so you tell me.
You both don't work on Sunday.
All right, okay, yep.
Come on, laugh it out.
No, it's fine.
Yeah, because I used to run a small business. I'll tell you, when you went down, you had to be there no matter whatever the schedule was. But that's nevertheless, you got to fix that, though. That's not good. As far as all this stuff, well, this shows you know all these gun laws in Massachusetts don't really work that well if all the spot shot of stuff is going up. So.
The problem is they have the laws. They just won't enforce the laws they have. What about all these automatic sentences that are supposed to happen for people that are arrested for gun crimes?
Well, the Democrats don't want to enforce those laws because it goes back to what Ron Emanuel said, don't let any tragedy go unused or unutilized. So you've got to create the tragedy so you can promote even more laws. So if you enforce the laws and they were to work, guess what? You wouldn't have the crime. You wouldn't have the issue. They want the issue so they can promote the legislation. So in my view, they don't want to. Also, this is all a part of the reparations concept, too, is that black people are sentenced to prison at a higher rate than white people, but black people commit more crimes percentage than white people do. So and that's really where your problem is. It's the young black youth are out of control in this country. Ages 14 to 24 to 34, just out of control in this country. And
it seems like a really broad statement to make.
No, it's absolutely accurate. By all statistical data, that demographic group between 14 to 34, young black males are committing the bulk of the crime. They only make up about 4% of the nation's population, but they're making up about 46 to 44% of violent crime in the United States. So
for what reasons then? For what reasons are they causing this? And maybe that's the solution to the problem, is fixing the situation that makes them feel like they need to commit those crimes.
Well, I think older black males have to step up and start to mentor younger black males. I think that's the problem. I think that a lot of they just walk away from their kids and single moms that are overly stressed and trying to raise their boys, and there's no discipline at home whatsoever. And then they reach out to gang to the gang environment for their extended family that they don't have at home. I think that. But listen, the first thing is to identify the problem. Is to come right out and speak. No one wants to speak about this problem because everyone gets into the racial divide when you start saying, hey, well, gee, you young black males between 14 to 34 are the problem, and then everyone gets, oh, you're a racist, blah blah blah. Well, guess what? You've got to first recognize the problem before you can start dealing with the problem. And we just refuse to do so. So.
All right. Well, thank you for the call. You have a good day.
You're welcome.
Yeah, take a break. Caller, hang on. We will get to you as soon as we come back, but I don't want to fall behind. We'll be back in just a few moments. Welcome back in 508-996-0500. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Good morning, Tim.
Good morning, Skitty. How are you?
I am okay. You know, I am so happy that I get to listen to you on my phone. I am definitely going to find a radio, though, that will just let me get you. I have one. It won't work here. Again, another radio I bought. It doesn't bring it in on 97. FM, and it doesn't work on AM either. So I'm just grateful for my phone, and haven't been using it a lot, so I'm not worried about using up my data.
You should look into getting an internet-based radio. They have radios that just connect onto the Wi-Fi, and you can tune in, you know, digital streams that way. It's a lot easier than trying to find a signal when you're out of the signal range.
Oh, a Wi-Fi radio.
Yep.
So that's at Best Buy, I'm assuming, right?
Yeah, they have them at Walmart. They have them at Best Buy. You can get them pretty much anywhere.
Oh, my stars. I didn't even know I knew that. That'll work because we got 6 months before you moved to New Bedford, to my place. So I will definitely need to do that. Oh, that is so great. You're such a wealth of information, Tim.
Yeah, well, I have one of those at home that I use that I like. So, I mean, it's definitely helpful when you have, my problem was I got no signals because I was too close to power lines. So it just messed up everything. So I just got one of those and it made all the difference.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Like I said, you're just a wealth of information. So I just want to ask you something. I mean, I was too busy this morning to get the first 2 hours, but I am grateful that I always get sent the shows. So I will be listening to your first 2 hours. I wanted to ask you something mundane. Can you make French toast with egg whites with marble bread? I got leftover marble bread.
I mean, you could with egg whites, but I mean, the yolk is really what kind of helps make it what it is.
The French toast, right. Yeah,
but you could do it with egg whites.
Okay. I was just curious about that. I know I could Google it, but I was just wondering if anybody's tried that and do they make... Like, does it make a good breakfast sandwich?
It'll kind of just be like as if there was, fried egg whites around the bread. Almost kind of like a bird's nest, you know? You ever made a bird's nest? Some people call it eggs in a basket.
Yes, yeah. I have, as a matter of fact.
It might come out kind of like that, but it's worth a shot.
You just gave me an idea. I think I could, to a potato. I can shred a potato. Fry it up, make a hash browns, and put it in the middle of the egg whites, bread.
There you go. I still got to try that thing my friend in Scotland sent me where they put tuna in the middle of a baked potato. Like tuna and mayonnaise, like in the middle of a baked potato. I still got to try that. Yeah.
No. Tuna?
I know. It sounds weird. I'll let you know how it turns out.
That's right. Till we try it, we just don't know, right?
Exactly. Yeah. I got to hold you there. I got to take one final break, but you have a good day. Yep.
You have a great day, too.
Take care. And we'll be right back. App. Got about 30 seconds, but wanted to squeeze you in. What's on your mind?
Yes, Mr. Weisberg. Good morning. I'll be very quick. What I usually make at the fire station sometimes for breakfast is called a linguaffle, which is a linguica patty between two waffles with a slice of cheese.
Ooh.
With a side of hash browns. So I call it the linguaffle.
And do you use syrup on it?
Syrup is optional.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.